Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman.
And today we're going to be talking about some of the big misconceptions and mistakes that startups make. And Lois has been doing PR forever, so she's dealt with a lot of startup companies. I'm in the world of journalism, in the world of new startup companies. I'm forever seeing new products and new companies. And a lot of these companies have in common the same set of mistakes, and we keep seeing it over and over again. And hopefully by making this podcast, we'll stop a few people from making some of the obvious mistakes. Do you agree that you see a lot of the same mistakes or misconceptions out there, Lois?
Yes, and thank you for saying what you just said, because it's very important for startups to understand what makes it or what breaks it. And one of the first things I want to address, and the reason why we're doing this podcast today, is because I just spoke to three different startups. And you and I have spoken about this before, but it seems like we're going to have to speak about this forever to get people to understand. Most startups cannot tell you what they do in like less than a minute. It goes on and on in tangents. Nobody understands them. The editorial world doesn't understand them. The investment world doesn't understand them. And they don't know how to construct a few sentences that explains what they do and why it's so important to the world, the innovation that they're bringing forth. And if startups really learn how to emphasize why they're doing it and how it's going to change the world, then they would be much more successful in getting money and getting editorial attention. What do you think, Steve?
They bury things like why this is the first, or what makes this unique, or why I should care about it. I mean, they're trying to sell me on the idea of writing about it or doing a segment on it, and yet they can't tell me what makes this product or this company so newsworthy. Why should I care? And they know it, but it's buried deep in there. They're going to tell me about how their funding came about and I don't care about that stuff. What makes this unique? What makes this a first? Why should I care about this idea? What problem does it solve? If you can't answer that in a sentence and a half, we've got a problem here. You should have an elevator pitch constantly running through your mind so that when you do meet the right person, you can very quickly, in a very few number of words, explain why we should care about what it is you do.
I think a lot of startups don't do it because A, they don't understand it, B, they don't even believe in themselves, C, they have some kind of concept that they're not sure about and they're hoping somebody else could understand and lead them through. Investors, money people, hear pitches all day long. So do editorial. We know in 1 second that this is just BS and it's not going to work. And everybody gets turned off. Startups need to understand that if they're not passionate and they don't know how to impart information about what they do, it's a total turnoff to everyone else that's hearing it. And they need to...
If they haven't sold themselves, they can't sell me on it. And also, I'm always amazed how someone will write... Like, I very often have someone just write me a paragraph about that company. And I usually look at that paragraph, and I can knock it down to 2 sentences. They should be able to do that, too. Just give me the information I need. Why is this important? Why should we care? And yet, they lack focus. They're looking all over the place instead of really having a laser beam focus on what it is this company is about, what problem it solves, why it's unique. Those are the things you want to hear in a sentence or two.
Let me tell you the next thing that startups make a mistake about, and I'm sure they pitch it to you. They go to, regional trade shows or national trade shows. They pay $10,000 of their hard-earned investment money to show their wares. And, in some way, somehow, they get an award from the show organizers. And they think that because they won some innovation award or some regional award, that the world all of a sudden is going to open up to them, throw money at them, write about them. It means nothing. It's very nice to have an award.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's very nice to have an award, but you know, to go to pitch Steve Greenberg, who's on the Today Show, and 20 other, you know, shows, morning shows and news shows around the country, it means nothing. It means nothing to the consumer. It means nothing to investment money. It means nothing to the editorial world. It's very nice to put in your library and on the shelf, and I'm not saying don't apply for those awards and don't be proud of them, but it means nothing. At the end of the day, everyone wants to know what you're going to do for them. And if you can't explain it and you don't get it, then you should not be a startup. All right? And it's so important to keep hammering what it is and expand on what it is that you do, so there's always a new element of news that people could say, wow, these people have it together. I'd like you to comment on that as well, Steve.
Well, I totally agree with the awards. And think about your own life when you're walking through Bed Bath & Beyond. You're not picking up products because they've won awards. You're picking up products because they mean something to you. They're solving a problem in your life. They're hopefully something you want. The fact that they've won an award doesn't mean anything to you. So I think, you know, it's nice a product wins an award. I agree with people should still apply for those things and hang them on their mantle, but that's not going to get you press. It's certainly not going to sell it for me on the Today Show. I have to have the product. It has to solve a problem. It has to do it with some panache, and it has to be unique, and it's, you know, something different about it. If we've already seen, you know, one Bluetooth speaker, another Bluetooth speaker is no big deal. We've seen Bluetooth speakers. It has to be something different, and if it's not different, then you're not going to get the attention you want. And that goes for whether you're investing in something, whether you're innovating something, whatever it is, it has to really speak to those, to that being the first of its kind, the world's first, or really uniquely solve something. That's what people want, and that's what gets press, because it's a very noisy world out there. I mean, that's the one thing I notice. You have to scream very loud to get heard in this very noisy world. There's so many different venues of media that the product really has to resonate with the consumers and really solve a problem that people care about to make it to the next level. And I just see too many people and too many companies and products don't get that. And sometimes I see it and they don't see it. I mean, I have to sit there and go, well, has this ever been done before? No. I said, well, then let's say this is the first blank, blank, blank. You need to really structure your pitch in that way. Tell me why this is the first and why it solves a problem.
The other point that I want to bring forth in this podcast, because we only have a limited amount of time, is that editorial people, investment people, strategic partners, PR people, all could see through the BS. There are many startups that start that are not really funded properly, that the people are just working it part-time, or they're only giving it a certain amount of hours a week for whatever other reason. They don't have their act together in terms of infrastructure. And the minute that somebody feels that this is a hobby and not a real company, you lose them immediately. I see it happening again. I'm going to repeat it. I see it happening when we pitch editorial people who catch on immediately. They always ask the same questions because they do not want to write about a product that from a company that's not going to be here 2 months from now. And
absolutely,
also the investment people. Even if you don't have enough money and you're working, you know, at night, you know, as a security guard for a warehouse, you cannot make that part of your company history. You've got to figure out a way that you're devoting enough hours and enough passion and enough smarts that's going to make this company real. I don't care what your struggles are. I run an agency now for 40 years. Don't you think I've had my ups and downs? Yet I had to maneuver, manipulate, calculate, figure out ways to get from 1 month to another without wearing all of that on my sleeve, the dirty laundry of business. And too many startups, you know, when you really start to talk to them, you realize that it's a hobby, that they're hoping that, you know, that Mark Cuban is going to walk past them at a trade show and say, oh, I love this. I'm here to solve. I'm your new rabbi or your new priest, and I'm going to solve all of your problems. I will give you the money. I'll tell you how to do it. I'll bring you to retail. I'll bring you to another business, And, you know, and that's, and everything is going to be okay. Sorry, that does not happen. And even the companies on Shark Tank that it happened, a lot of them have failed because they could not follow through. They didn't want to devote the sweat and, you know, and all of the brain power that goes behind making a company. Steve? Add to it.
I totally agree. And I think people have a misconception that this is all, you know, easy peasy. You know, it's it couldn't be easier. That's not the truth. This is a lot of work and a lot of frustration, and there's no guarantees. And this is gambling. You know, anytime, I don't care how great the product is, there's still gambling involved here. You know, it has to still resonate with consumers, and if it doesn't, you know, you're going to be toast. So you have to go into it knowing that I'm going to work really hard, and I'm on a gamble. Of course, if it pays off, it can be huge. But if it doesn't pay off, you know, it may not. So I think people have a false sense of like, oh, I just put it out there, put it on the shelf, I just put it on a website, and whoosh, it'll just fly off, and then I'll just, you know, the big problem will be, how do I get to the bank fast enough? It doesn't work that way.
You know, Steve,
I
have to
so
tell
many...
you, I have surveyed trade shows. You know, PepCom, Showstoppers, Unveiled, CES, CE Week. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I would say 90% or 95% of the companies, the startups that exhibit at these trade shows never show up again. And the reason is because they just run out of money and there's no contingency plans. When someone does a startup, they have to say, okay, I'm giving this 5 years, and what am I going to do to sustain this, you know, this company that I came up with? You know, if I don't get a dollar in here, how is this going to work? And I really get very upset with companies when they can't answer that question for me, because I'm thinking, what is it? You're going to, like, you know, Ed McMahon's, you know, I've Got Talent, or whatever the hell it was called, and you think you're going to make it big once, and like all of a sudden, the world is going to carry you? No, no, no. Even when you make it big, shit happens. You've got to have plans on how you're going to sustain yourself. And everybody that is in bed with you, you know, the editorial world, investors, strategic partners, PR people, marketing people, they're depending on you for those answers. Not, you can't depend on them.
And the truth of the matter is, you know, over the years, I mean, anecdotally, I go to PepCom, Showstoppers, every trade show you can name I've been to. And you see some coming, and somebody see a product, you think it's a really clever idea. I like the product, I really do, and it gets some press. But then you come back, and it's gone. It doesn't grow to a bigger booth. It just disappears. So sometimes it isn't even, the great idea isn't enough. It has to have a great team behind it to make it come together. And I've seen too many things disappear. Occasionally you see a cool product, and then I watch it grow from a little booth, a tabletop booth at PepCom, to all of a sudden it's in the main hall at CES. I mean, I remember GoPro being a tabletop product, and Lumi, a little tabletop product, and then now they're in the big hall because they've been huge successes. But there, for every one I can name, there are dozens that did not go to the big hall. So it's something that startups need to be aware of. I'm not telling them not to move forward, but they have to be prepared. This is a real journey. This is not a short trip to the market.
Right. And before we go, I do want to add, the same thing is true with people that make it big in Hollywood and Broadway. Everyone who starts out in the showbiz business and bringing new product to market is showbiz, they all have second jobs that do not interfere with their first jobs to sustain themselves. We discuss it. The biggest stars in Hollywood do voiceovers, they do acting lessons, they do writing.
Seminars, workshops, all of that.
Right, because...
And you know...
Go ahead.
And at the same token, you can go to, like, there's that singing restaurant on Broadway where, you know, the waiters are all, like, wannabe Broadway stars. Their voices are amazing.
Stardust Diner.
Exactly. You go there, they're incredible. I mean, those waiters and waitresses are phenomenal. They blow your socks off. and yet they may never have a big career. So they've got all the talent in the world, but it just, the breaks didn't happen for them. So startups are a little bit like that too. You can have an amazing product, but sometimes it doesn't work out. You need to really work it and have a team, and if all things come together, then you have a success. But we could talk about this literally all day. I think we should cut it off here and then and maybe do another one about this in the not-too-distant future. Do you agree?
We certainly do, and I will distribute this far and wide, hoping that the right people listen to it so they get something from it, because we're telling them, you know, the solution to their success, and if they don't understand it, they could feel free to call us, but this is
Absolutely.
What it takes. Okay.
So once again, I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman.
And we have been Lying on the Beach. So long, everybody.
Thank you.